Pioneers, following your path. What's good? Happy spring. I hope everybody had a powerful equinox. There was so much energy that was coming in that weekend. And I know for me and in the group that I went on a retreat with, it was epic. And this is such a powerful time to plant the seeds of our lives that we want to grow, to kind of leave the parts that aren't serving us back in the winter, back in the dead of the winter season. And this is really there's a lot of energy supporting our full bloom, our full-blown expansion. So the way I kind of look at that is starting to energize what you want to create, what you want to see in your life, what you want to experience, rather than energizing the problems or the patterns, whatever the thing is. And to go along with that theme, I have the perfect conversation for everybody. Honestly, this might have been one of my favorite podcast conversations. I just feel like it was so in alignment with where we're at, and there was so much valuable and validating information that came in for me, but also I know for a lot of you listening, this is going to be really powerful stuff. Our wonderful guest for today, her name is Rebecca Dawson. She's a channeler. She is an author. She travels the world giving presentations and talks and channeling the masters. Those are the entities that come through, the beings that come through when she does the channeling. And they have a lot to say about what's going on in our world, where we're headed, what's been happening. And it's beautiful to hear. There's a lot of, we're in such an amazing process, one that we've never seen before on this planet with this many people. And it's so easy to get caught in, you know, negative things that are going on, ways that this is feeling like it's the worst thing ever. But actually, from a much higher perspective, this is completely necessary, and this is getting us where we need to go. So it's really deeply serving us, and you will get a very clear picture of that by listening to this podcast. Rebecca just shares some incredible stuff with us here. So this one's all about, like I said, the changes that are currently taking place on our planet, the massive shift in consciousness that we find ourselves in as this world of old collapses and a brand new one is birthed, one that will have us living and experiencing life from a place of totality and oneness, and not the duality, not the separation that's been a huge part of our current reality for a long time. So her new book called The Agreement, she wrote to help us ease into that place of highly elevated consciousness and awareness, and giving us ways to prepare to go through this shift. And that's another part, huge part of this podcast, is talking about how we can thrive through this time rather than getting sucked into any negativity or any interpretations that would seem as though we're going into a dark place. Guys, like, I'm honestly so excited to bring you this. This is going to be, please, I would love to hear feedback on this one, actually. I would love to hear if this did anything for you, if this activated something within you, a deeper knowingness, if it validated something. Reach out on Instagram or send me an email. I'm genuinely curious to hear what's going on for you with this one, because I got so much from it. And I'm literally excited to publish this one. This was an awesome conversation. I had so much fun. It was deep. And Rebecca is just an amazing woman. And I would highly recommend, if you need a good read, The Agreement is just so in alignment with where we're at and can really help us to start to see things in a different way, because we're opening up. We're going into the unknown, and all the old routines and ways of thinking and 3D linear rationality of the mind and existing from that place, that's going away and making room for the magic, the miracles, the synchronicities. And we're becoming magnetic beings, which is another big part of this podcast. I don't want to give the whole thing away here. So please tune in. Please listen to the whole thing. I know it's going to be powerful for you. And I'm going to leave it on that for now. I don't want to say too much. So again, love everybody that's here. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you for being part of this community. As always, And of course, if you want to support the podcast, I have in the show notes the link for the Breathwork album that my wonderful friend Chris and Johnny Buffalo created, which I used for our Breathwork part of the ceremony at the retreat weekend. And these guys have never done Breathwork like that before, and they absolutely loved it. And it really got us to such a deep place and in an activation and presence, and it got us ready for our journey that we were going to have later on that night. So this is really powerful stuff, and it's a great way to get yourself into the breathwork space, because it's all guided. You know what type of breath to do. It changes, it switches. You have something to follow, which is makes it easier for the mind. And yeah, you're going to go for a journey when you listen to this, and you're going to love it. So if you want to listen to any samples, you can click on the link, check that out. And again, it supports the podcast. So put in Follow Your Path 10 and you get a discount on the album. With that being said, let's go in. Let's dive into this episode with Rebecca. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. And you get something out of it. I can almost guarantee that you will. So I will see you soon. Love you all. And here we go. Rebecca, as I said before, I'm super excited to have you on the show. There's so many cool things we can get into. Your book, The Agreement, is amazing. The work that you're doing and you have been doing is amazing. I was trying to figure out what a good starting point would be because there's so many things. But I was curious, let's just go back to the beginning when you first started channeling. Were you in your teens or were you in your 20s? How young were you?
Oh, I was in my teens.
You were in teens. Wow, okay.
Which, you know, isn't terribly convenient.
No, I can imagine. And so what was that like? Did it just hit you out of nowhere? Did it just come out of the blue? And then what was the feeling like? Were you like, what is this? Can I trust it? What was that process like?
Well, I've had a lot of experiences in my younger years. So you know, I could see energy fields and I could feel things. And I remember one night I had a friend sleepover, you know, sleepovers.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt a little bit like what you were describing earlier before we started, this real flow of energy come out of my hands. My hands felt so hot. And I remember leaning over in the middle of the night, you know, from one sleeping bag to another on the floor of my bedroom. And I touched my friend and her whole arm went numb. And she completely freaked out and she went home and she didn't come and stay again after that. But I've had lots of experiences like that all through childhood. So things that couldn't really be explained. And I had a Catholic upbringing. So I think my parents struggled a little bit when I used to ask them questions about things they had no answers for. Mm. But I was very fortunate that I had a mother that was at least open-minded enough to start to send me to meditation classes and metaphysical classes when I was quite young. So on that note, I had an understanding of what channeling was, mm-hmm. but for me that was kind of old ladies dressed in white with crystals hanging around their necks, you know, bringing three people who passed over.
Yeah.
So when it happened for me, I think I was just 18, and I was playing around a little bit with some tarot cards that I had just found, and I didn't know how to use them. And I was sitting on the floor of our lounge room in the family home, and I was just laying them out. And there was someone across from me who had been in a lot of emotional distress and broken up from a boyfriend. So I was putting out these cards and I was really, you know, fake it till you make it kind of thing. Sitting there going, oh, this is what this means. Had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it wasn't my voice anymore. And I felt very expanded. I liken it to the Marshmallow Man in Ghostbusters. Uh-huh. You know, feeling very expanded, very heavy. And all of a sudden there was an hour's conversation all about the person sitting in front of me, past lives, why they were having difficulty with their relationship, what it was all about. And it felt like about 5 minutes. And when I came back into full awareness again, it had been an hour and this person was furiously scribbling down all of these notes. So that was my first experience.
Wow. Did that person?
And that was really easy. The difficulty was
afterwards trying to figure out what to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, they took it really seriously because obviously it was a bolt out of the blue and it very clearly was a different stream of consciousness. So they were, yeah.
Was your friend...
The difficulty for me was...
Was your friend freaked out or were they were just like going with it? Like, okay, this is happening. I got to write this down. This is all amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, they were going with it. Yeah. So the difficulty really after that was how do you reconcile that experience with who you are in life, where your life is going, and what do you do with it?
Especially as a teenager.
That's right.
Oh my goodness. What did that next step look like for you after that?
Well, it was quite challenging actually, because I was at university at that time. I was studying to become an architect. And so, you know, the type of thinking that you use for design and plan and building science is very exact. And I'd always been a very sequential, linear thinker. But when you start to open up those parts of you to accommodate, you know, a greater stream of consciousness or energy, your brain doesn't work so well in a linear way anymore. And because this was such a full-blown experience for me straight off the bat, you know, going into a lecture theatre, all of a sudden I could see everybody's energy field. All of a sudden I could hear everything. All of a sudden people's deceased relatives were everywhere. I mean, going to a pub was difficult. Going to a shopping mall was difficult. And it was a real challenge for me because I didn't know how to manage the experience. I didn't know how to turn it on or off at a convenient time. Mm-hmm. That became a problem.
Yeah.
And so it was really an experience over the next 10 years or so of removing myself from those environments. I ended up just going and traveling to have a bit of space and work it out on my own, and then try to actually figure out what this was about, how this was supposed to be a part of my life, try and find a teacher or a mentor, which was a bit of a disaster. And now what? Because, you know, there's no instruction manual for this.
Right.
Well, there wasn't at that time.
So you primarily now, or you have, you know, over the course of your career, you've channeled through the group that's called the Masters. Is that right?
Right.
And who do those beings say that they are? And why did they sort of choose to come through you? What was that, the building that relationship
like with them? Well, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. The very first time I used to have this being come through, this was from the very first moment, you know, with those surprise person sitting across from me. I used to call him Big Head. It felt masculine. It felt like a male. Mm-hmm. And I just used to call him Big Head because my head felt so big.
Yeah.
And one day that voice came through and said, my name is not Big Head. and that turned out to be an aspect of consciousness called Serapis or Serapis Bay, who used to bring through a lot of information and still does, more of the technical side of consciousness and the mechanics of reality, how all of that works. Mm-hmm. I've also had Saint Germain with me, or he just likes to call himself Germain, not Saint Germain, doesn't really like titles very much, since about 2008. And then Kuthumi has come through really since about 2013. So I've got three of them together. Sometimes they come through as individual streams of persona, depending on what the content is, depending on what the audience is. Mm-hmm. But quite often they come through as a group energy, which is very helpful when we're trying to tackle concepts that sit beyond 3D. Because if you think about looking at a 4D or 5D concept, you need to be able to look at it from multiple viewpoints. Right. So we have multiple points of consciousness come through to give us that concept. And that's really helpful.
Yeah. It seems like right now we're getting a lot of help from other places. Channeling has become a huge worldwide thing with massive audiences. I mean, people like you, guys like Paul Selig, who are writing best-selling books, selling out, you know, doing tours and selling out everywhere they go. One channeling that I follow is Lee Carroll with Cryon. I've been following that for like 8 years. you know, you have the Law of One channelings with Ra, you have the Course in Miracles. I mean, there's been so much that's been coming through that has really helped our planet. And one thing I was curious about with the masters, because I know they got to a point where they had messages that they were giving to you that, you know, they were giving with a sense of urgency. And I was curious why that urgency now, and what is it that they really, you know, want us to know during this time?
Well, we first started talking about this paradigm shift and the new human and the new mechanics of reality back in 2009, 2010.
Okay.
And at that time, it was really in, you know, the concept of 5D reality and the shift was being introduced. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was a theory. It was a concept. It was something we couldn't really wrap up. You know, we might be able to wrap our heads around, but we didn't really have anything tangible as an experience with. That experience is happening right now.
Yeah.
So it's such an interesting time because it's no longer just a theory. It's no longer a deniable concept because we're starting to see our exterior reality in many ways break down. Mm. And so for many people that have been awakening, that deconstruction of limitation has been happening within us for a number of years now. We've been going through, you know, losing our identities, losing our sense of place, losing our sense of purpose, all of those structures that kept us in a certain framework of reference. That internal collapse has been happening for some time. Now we're beginning to see it externally.
Mm-hmm.
And everything begins within, as we know, with reality, and projects outwards. If you're the center of your reality, that's how life works. So now that we're seeing it externally, it's almost like there's evidence for this. It's no longer a theory. It's happening. It's undeniable that there's a shift happening globally.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What is comforting for people, or can be comforting at this time, is this kind of information about how it's happening, why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
in many ways, if you're seeing it externally, the shift has already happened.
Yeah.
Because everything starts within.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's great to understand the mechanics of reality, but ultimately, I think my greatest intention within all of this is to bring people comfort, to know that they're safe, to know that they're okay, to know that actually we've got this as a humanity. Mm. Because the shift has happened, now we're seeing it play itself out, and you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. And actually, there's something way better that's coming to take its place.
That's right.
You know, because it's like as each of us goes through that sort of ego deconstruction or ego death, as some people call it, you feel like you're losing something. You feel like scared that things aren't going to be as good as they were, even though for much of the world, it's been a lot of darkness and suffering for a very long time. And I feel like when we're in that, when we were existing in that place from the ego, in total separation and not realizing who we were, it created the world that we had with all the chaos, the violence, the corruption, all of that. So now it's like as we're individually changing our own frequency, exactly what you said, that's being manifested out there. And now it's like starting to show up in physical form, just as you said. So as part of that, and I know this is something you talk about, you know, we're realizing that we are multidimensional beings and an entirely new landscape and fabric of reality gets created as we embody that and know that and teach our children that. Can you talk about what that is and like what would the world look like coming from that place if we're all embodying that our multidimensional nature?
Well, ultimately, I mean, as humans, you know, if we look right down to the level of our biology and our DNA as it was originally designed and as this Earth was originally designed, we're the greatest creative species in the galaxy. I mean, we are. we see that in our own design. I mean, every single human is completely unique. every single aspect of life on this planet is completely unique. We're not designed to be replicated. We're not designed to create replications. We're not actually even designed to reproduce. We're designed to create. And that's why the Earth was the galactic Garden of Eden. The incredible diversity of creation and life here is what it's originally designed for. That's the blueprint, also for ourselves.
Mm.
And so we live in a world at this time where there's such an obsession and such a sense of success and value that's associated with our ability to replicate and reproduce to perfection with consistency. Yeah. You know, we've kind of become factories of reproduction.
Yeah.
In our scheduled everyday lives, in our output, in how well we can keep doing the same things over and over again. I mean, it's unnatural and it's not what we were designed for. So to answer your question, as we move more into 5D, which is the bridge back into multidimensional creation, it's really a repositioning of humanity back to be able to be sovereign in the choices that you're making so that you can actually begin to create your realities consciously and begin to bring new things to this world, which is why the masters use phrases like new human, new earth, new reality. Because when you're creating something in the moment, that's newness. And yet our minds are so wired to repetition and memory that it's very, very difficult to think about something new because the new is unknown. Mm-hmm. So earth has to go through, humanity has to go through a period of, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what I want. And I don't know who I am anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are right now for many people. And it's very important because it's untethering us, unhooking us from that 3D repetition grid of reality and bringing us back into creation again.
Mm.
We go across the bridge of not knowing. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are.
That's a scary bridge.
It is, because we're so used to thinking that if we know something, we're safe.
Uh-huh.
And yet what we've understood is if we know something, we're actually unconscious.
Yeah. That's been the survival paradigm for so long. I got a past life regression reading years ago, and I was stuck on this huge hang bridge, and I was in the middle, and I was like scared to go to the other side. I couldn't see. It was misty. And I was just like frozen in the center, and I wanted to run back to what I've always known. And finally, I was able to push forward. I went past the mist, and it was like this gorgeous garden with all these things I've never seen, and the colors, and oh, it was so good.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's the reality shift. That's the paradigm shift right there.
Yeah. So it's like we're coming out of, we've been so conditioned and trained, left brain, you know, and very little imagination, very little right brain, and yeah, just existing up in the head. And I feel like it's like a balancing act of the hemispheres of the brain, and then also balancing the mind and the heart together. It feels like the world is taking us into this like place of balance, but to do that, you have to let go of all the old. And that's where a lot of the fear is coming in, because we don't know what's going to happen. But that's why everyone talks about trust. Do the masters ever talk about trust, or how do they guide people to sort of go through this process? Is there anything they tell you on that?
Well, right now, you know, it's a case of if you don't know what to believe, don't believe any of it.
Mm.
Believe yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And believe how you feel. Because there isn't any reference for what's happening right now. It's unprecedented. And we're so used to referencing memory. So yeah. You know what you were talking about with that balance in your mind? We see that as a loop, actually.
Mm.
A perpetual cycle of motion where, you know, left brain or memory takes us back. We reference back to what we already know. So even if we want to do something new, I want to do something else today, we'll go back to what we already know exists in order to make that choice.
Mm.
And it's like life being a hoop or a circle.
Yeah.
And that's the 3D. I mean, we even see it in the chakras, you know, it keeps emotions going round and round and round. That's another whole conversation.
Right.
But it's the karmic cycle. It's the loop of repetition with memory. And if we keep choosing from that loop, we're never going to do anything different.
Right.
So what's happened in the last, you know, 15 or so years, and has been accelerating, is the loop is slowing down. life is slowed down. 3D is slowing down. Time is slowing down in many regards. And if you're rolling a hoop across the floor and it starts to slow down, what happens? It loses its momentum and you start to wobble a little bit. And you lose your balance and you feel like you're not going anywhere and you're worried that you might die. And all of these things happen, this existential crisis. But the shift in reality now is to take you from being a hoop that's rolling across the floor in repetitive ways and make you into a sphere. And once you're a sphere, you move into 5D, you can move in any direction now. You don't just have to go forward into history or back into history and forward into the future. You don't have to be sequential and set your goals and take your steps. Now you have the freedom to really move in any direction. That's where we're going as a humanity.
So that sounds like a little thing called Corona might have really helped us with slowing things down.
It slowed everything down. And this is, I think, a really important point because so many people think that Corona is a problem to solve. And that takes us back into that loop again.
Rather than
what's happening now being symptomatic of the fact that the hoop's already slowed down and wobbled and is becoming a sphere.
Yes. So for let's say I consider myself a pretty aware person, but yet I still see the hoop in my life. And sometimes I feel like a slave to it. And it's really annoying when you see yourself playing it out. So is it just a case of, you beat your head against the wall so many times you get to the point where you got to choose something different. You can't do it anymore. Is that kind of the way out, or is it just hyper awareness of your everyday choices, mindfulness, that sort of thing to start to break those karmic loops?
Well, the whole premise of the hoop rolling along the floor is there's momentum involved and it's from the past to the future. So, there's a lot of teachers out there that have been really talking about being present and being in the present moment, because when you're in the present moment, the hoop stays still.
Right.
And when the hoop stops, that's when it has an ability to expand into a sphere, into a ball. So, the habitual stuff that we do and the choices that we make every day, most of it's unconscious.
Yeah.
And it's not until we start getting spontaneous, until we start saying, well, I don't know what spontaneously can arise in this moment. It's the spontaneity that's the key out of the hoop. So important. But, our structures and our lives are set up in such a scheduled way that, you wake up in the day. I mean, I look at my diary here and it's almost as if my day is already decided.
Mm-hmm.
It's already decided for me. That's unconscious, rather than I wonder what can happen today. Filling the, look to the blank spaces rather than focusing on what you can see.
Which is such a more exciting place to live life from, it feels like. But yet we're scared to do it.
It is. And I have to say, it can be a wild ride. When this information started coming through in seminars and workshops we were giving, about 6 or 7 years ago, the master started talking about look for the spaces between the clouds, shift your attention slightly to the left, What's available there in the blank spaces? That's where creation arises. When I started doing that as a practice, my whole life changed. And just on a very personal note, my whole life has completely rearranged itself in the past 5 to 6 years. And it still is. And I have no idea where it's going. I have no idea what's going to happen. And I'm not practical in any sense anymore, which is interesting for a Virgo.
You're a Virgo.
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
So it's been an even bigger challenge for me.
That makes sense. I'm a double Virgo.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Are you September?
September the 4th. Yeah.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Couple Virgos here.
We are challenged with moving out of structure, but the most unexpected, incredible things have happened by focusing on the empty spaces rather than what's already being marked.
So when you're really saying the empty spaces, just for Virgo clarity here, So you're saying like the places in your day, let's say that you don't have things scheduled that are like wide open that you could do anything with, you're putting your focus on those things. Like, what do I want to create during those spaces type of thing?
Yeah. But even then, not anticipating them, but arriving in them and saying, I wonder what's going to happen now.
I wonder
what's possible in this moment, because then we're in the spontaneity. And then suddenly there's a call from someone, or suddenly, you know, an injured bird lands outside the door, so I have to go and do that. You know, it's just this life opens up. Life opens up when we begin to look to those empty spaces.
Yeah. So what are, you know, when people start to make this shift from more of a 3D way of living and perceiving life into more of the fifth dimensional space, what can people like expect to maybe start seeing as a result of that? Is there certain, you know, symptoms that go on? Is there, you know, just so people know, like, okay, something's shifting right now. Things are happening that never have. I feel like I'm going somewhere new. Anything like that?
Well, I think the first thing that happens before that begins to show up is you begin to experience a deep sense of dissatisfaction with what you're already doing.
Yeah.
Deep sense of dissatisfaction in that which used to stimulate you. And you can come to this point where there's so much restlessness happening within you, because this energy is really starting to rise. But anything 3D or structural that you would normally direct it towards doesn't feel satisfying anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It only feels satisfying as an experiment. So the sorts of things that begin to happen as we shift into this new consciousness is that your life becomes very multidirectional. So if you're thinking that this energy is going to start to surge in you and you're going to be able to find a new direction and a new focus, forget about it, because that's very linear and one directional. What we're finding now is that rather than going on a linear journey through life, we're becoming like a starburst and our attention moves out in multiple directions, which means one day I'm super interested in this, the next I want to do this, the next I want to do that. And it's very difficult to maintain anything or to see anything through to conclusion.
Yes.
Because if you think about this hoop and this circular karmic cycle, it's all about completion. So our minds are wired to be obsessed with completion. And I'm not allowed to start anything new until I finish that.
But yeah.
In this new energy, it's not about completion. It's about ignition. So let's start that. Let's start that. Let's start that. Let's start that.
Yeah.
But in this consciousness, you know, you can ignite something. It doesn't mean to say you have to manage it and see it through to the end, because when you ignite it, you've ignited it for the collective consciousness.
Mm.
So it's quite probable that somebody else somewhere else in the world will take that through to fruition or come up with an idea or do it. So a lot of people have come up with inspirations during this period. And I do hear this from a lot of people who are entrepreneurial, starting their own businesses. They come up with ideas and they're brilliant. And then they kind of lose interest in it, or they're having trouble driving it. And then they discover that someone else in the world is just doing it. Mm-hmm. And they get frustrated by that, because they haven't acknowledged that their consciousness has ignited it for humanity.
Yeah.
And now those seeds are there, and other people can be caretakers of them and sprout them for life.
Yeah.
And that's where many of us are right now.
For sure. Definitely myself included in that. I felt so relieved to hear some of this, because that's me picking something up, putting it down, getting frustrated that I'm not like able to focus on it. Million ideas coming through and feeling overwhelmed and just not really knowing like which one I need to be at more. So with that, you know, because let's say you're an entrepreneur, you know, you're trying to create a life that is sustainable, that, you know, you pay the bills, do all the 3D stuff. Is it more of like trusting that the thing that's for you, that's going to sustain you, that's going to carry you through this is going to, like, you'll feel it. There'll be like a resonance with it. You're like, okay, this is the thing. This is like my authentic thing.
But it's going to keep changing, isn't it? See, that's the difference between this is my thing in life, this is my path, this is my way. When you move in 5D, there is no one way. And this is such an important point, and I'm so happy that you're bringing this to the conversation, because there is no one direction anymore. It's going to be very unusual in 50 to 100 years time for humans to have one life path or one profession.
Yeah, it's very fluid. It's like doors just constantly on a quantum level opening and closing.
Of course, because we're creators, so we have to keep creating. We don't create something and then just do that for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Keep birthing new.
I could see, I don't have any children or a family or anything like that. So I could see that being difficult for those with like young kids and needing, like you. Like
me.
How do you manage that?
I'm a single parent of a teenager.
Wow.
So I have the challenge of making a living.
Yes.
And the difficulty with that when you move into this multidimensional space is that you never want to do the same thing for very long because the energy for it runs out.
Yeah.
Consciousness is engaged with that. It's not interested anymore. And it doesn't matter how much you try to convince yourself that push through, you can keep doing this. You've only just started. Keep going. You never know how far this can go. If the consciousness doesn't want to engage with it, it's gone.
It's just like
there's nothing you can do to will yourself to want to do it.
It's like freaking children in a sandbox. It's just like that. You pick up the toy, you're not interested, you go to the next one, and it's natural. It's good to do that. That's what we're here to do. And I've so many times I've felt heavy, like trying to push through a project, trying to reach a deadline that's self-imposed, like all these different things, and it just feels so heavy, and it takes all the joy out of it. So it sounds like we're in this place where it's like, follow your highest joy, follow the excitement, follow where the energy's going.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Because that at this time is where the growth energy is.
Yeah.
And so for my personal experience, when I was in and for many years in and worked two or three jobs, you know, I am doing this because I need to pay the bills. And I got to thinking, and the masters would come through. We did a couple of seminars on money, actually, and I got a big smackdown in front of about 100 people one day. I remember that. They put me on the spot. I realized that why did I want to earn money? You want to earn money to pay the bills. Well, not really. Why do I want to earn money? I want to earn money so that I can have more experiences in life.
Yes.
Because I love to travel, for example. Yep. I want to see things. I want to experience stuff. And then I realized, or I was shown, that actually I don't want money. Money's a means to an end. What I want is more experience. What I want is more variation. What I want is a great adventure. And so what I realized is that if my focus is I want more experiences and more adventure, those opportunities keep arriving for me. And money is kind of a residual effect of that. Money's the effect, not the cause. So I've since been all over, since that day, I have been all over the world. Things just seem to happen and unfold. I don't really have the money for those things to happen. But they seem to happen and money follows. So I realize I don't actually need money.
That's the thing we have a hard time with right there. It's like, no, I need to know that I have the money to do the thing. That's like the only way my linear brain, it like grabs onto it. No, I got to save up. I got to have the money to do the certain thing, which is such a narrow band of frequency to be in compared to infinite potential and possibility, which could get you to that thing in a million and one different ways. But it's like we're pinching ourselves off from that by thinking, by focusing on just the money. And most times, that we don't have enough of it, which just creates that same exact loop that's bouncing down the street we've been talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite amazing, actually. And I have to say, I've been living on the edge for many years. When I say living on the edge, seriously, you know, flying by the seat of my pants. But what I've realized is that that's the most, it's the most exhilarating place to be, because that's where life is happening.
Yeah, it's riveting. It's just, if I can feel it in my body right now. It feels exciting to like be on that cutting edge where you're like, I have no idea, but okay. It's like going into a dark tunnel.
Yeah. And there are times where it's frightening when people try to, like when people say to me, what do you mean you don't have any retirement funds? Or what do you mean you don't have this or don't have that? But, you know, I'm living.
Yeah.
I'm living. Mm-hmm. And I think when you come to a point in your life where nothing is working for you, and many awakening people come to this where it's a life or death situation. Do I really want to be here?
Yeah.
Do I really want to keep doing life like this? Mm-hmm. It's not satisfying. I'm pretty sure, you know, there's more for me than this.
Yeah.
It does become a life or death question. And I think for myself, I just want to live.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's the focus.
That's interesting because I do feel like right now in this particular time, there is a lot of souls that are saying nope and exiting the planet. Maybe just because it feels like it's too much. It's too intense. It's too crazy. Did the masters ever talk about that? Like why so many souls are choosing to leave right now and to not stay as part of this?
Yes, and I have to say I've lost 2 family members to suicide in the last 2 years.
That's
so it's an incredibly, you know, potent topic. When you go through a paradigm shift, you can no longer continue to exist in the same identity that you did before. And so what's happening now is as consciousness increases within us and we're becoming more embodied, it's like the chicken growing inside the egg. You know, we think the shell keeps us safe, our identity, but it has to crack. And many of us are cracking. I cracked. Many of us have. Mm-hmm. It's not a weakness. It's actually a sign of expanding consciousness. When your identity in a 3D form can't contain you anymore, you're too big for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a lot of people, when they go through that expansion of consciousness, it sends a signal to the mind and to the biology of your body, because a lot of people are getting sick as well, that says, my identity is dying, therefore my biology is going to die, my body's going to die. Because that's how it's always been with the karmic cycle. Once you finish that identity in that lifetime, your body has memory that says, okay, it's now time to die, because that's what used to happen. This is the first time we've had a consciousness shift collectively where there's not going to be a physical death for humanity. Humanity is going to survive this and thrive, but it's the first time. Mm-hmm. And so all of the memory and collective memory, whether you call it, you know, karmic history or the Akasha, whatever it is, all of that says it's time to die. And so a lot of people are having that experience and are choosing that experience because the signal is so strong that my identity is going, I'm going.
It's not that far away from, you know, when a doctor prescribes somebody, let's say with a certain form of terminal cancer or a certain disease, and they give them the sentence, you have 6 months to live. And then it's like the consciousness instructs the body, okay, that's the amount of time we have. And it signals the body because our soul is just infused with every cell that, okay, that's the instructions. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I love the way you just framed that. That's absolutely true. And so with this shift in identity that we're all having now, we're outgrowing ourselves. For many of us, that's what we're feeling physically. We're feeling like we might die and we don't know who we are outside of this. So it's an incredibly challenging time, but you know, once the chicken breaks out of that egg, then it understands what freedom is.
It's literally going from, and I think Bruce Lipton talks about this and some others, going from the caterpillar consciousness to the butterfly. Caterpillar thinks he's dying, thinks it's all over, goes into the cocoon, turns into liquid, comes out a butterfly. Takes flight for the first time. Beautiful butterfly. It's like such a perfect analogy for what we're in right now, isn't it?
It is uncomfortable. You know, a lot of people are saying, God, I thought this shift in consciousness and this awakening would be all, you know, unicorns and rainbows.
It's brutal.
It's a life or death experience.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, what we're seeing now, you know, going back to the beginning of our conversation with the external reality starting to stumble,
mm-hmm.
it's like being the chicken in that egg and the egg's rolling along and the chicken thinks, oh, I'm going great in life. Oh, look how far I've come.
Yeah.
You know, my life has momentum. I'm doing stuff. I'm a mover and a shaker.
Yeah.
Not realizing that it's the structures that we've been sitting in that have been pushing us along.
Mm-hmm.
Once they start to slow down and the egg starts to stop rolling, you feel like your life stopped.
Yeah.
What's happening? I'm not making progress. But what you realize is that you were never really expanding in your consciousness. Mm-hmm. As long as we were sitting in these structures, we couldn't.
Right.
It's not until we actually get out of them that we can actually start to get some real movement happening for humanity.
Totally. We've been in these tiny little bubbles of reality of, like, especially here in the West and in the like the middle class in the US, it's like go to work, come home, dinner, sleep, repeat for 5 days, weekend, have some barely any time. And it's like it's so hard to get out of that.
It is.
And I jumped out of it 4-5 years ago, actually, now. And I quit. I left. I went to California, bought a car. And within like 2 months, I was homeless. I didn't know what to do. It felt so good to be out of that trap, that rat race. But all my shadows followed me and all the things that I hadn't integrated came with me. And yeah, that was my like dying period.
Yeah.
That was really scary. But what would you say to, you know, people who are in that place right now, like that life or death place that they're perceiving? Obviously we know they're not actually dying. What's ways that people can sort of get through that or even thrive in this time that we're in right now while we're shifting?
I think it's so important to know, because many of us who go through, you know, spiritual journeys or do a lot of spiritual inquiry, we tend to think that expanding consciousness is about getting away from the darkness and the shadows and getting towards the light. Mm-hmm. But when you go through a shift in consciousness, it's like a stream of light going through and passing through the keyhole from one room into the other. And that's what collective humanity consciousness is doing right now. It's only a linear concept that says we move from darkness to light. In order for humanity to move into a new paradigm of existence, all of it has to come through. And that's why when you were describing going to California, you have to bring all of yourself to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're feeling a lot of that negativity and a lot of that darkness, or indeed if you're seeing that in your external reality right now, it's everywhere right now. It's because we have to move into acknowledgement and agreement that all of that is part of the entire spectrum of humanity. And it's that unified agreement that will allow you to emerge as something new. That's the ultimate. So if you're feeling all of that tension and darkness right now because you're faced with the aspects of yourself or your life that you don't like, you are so close. You are in that keyhole. Mm-hmm. And you are so, so on the cusp of a completely new set of experiences. So take comfort in knowing that if you're in that space, in that point of compression, you've already come the furthest that you can go.
It's the darkest,
slightest movement.
The darkest before the dawn. That's the line I'm thinking of right now as you say that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And the cool thing is about this time is that there's so many folks that have gone through that big time already. And we have so much support. But you have to find a community and other people who are also going through this process. Cause I felt super alone. I felt like I was losing my mind. I felt like I was different from everybody else. I didn't fit in. And I made a terrible choice to jump out of that 3D world, and I'm paying for it. And I tried to just figure it out all in my mind, and that really created so much suffering. But now we have like so much support out there with people who have gone through this, and it's way different in that way. It feels like
it is. It's so, so cool. And I have to say, probably for yourself, for myself, going through that on your own becoming a voice for it, being willing to expose the difficulties that you're having, being totally honest and authentic about your humanness in this, it's now becoming normal for people. Mm-hmm. And this was the biggest challenge for me. I remember you asked at the beginning of our conversation, what was it like becoming a channeler? Because that used to be a real woo-woo thing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be normal.
Yeah.
And yet this concept was that the more conscious you are, the more gifts you have, whatever that means, the more you can do metaphysically, the less suffering you have, the less human you are, and the more people like to see you as somehow beyond the basic everyday stuff. And yet my experience was never like that. And it used to I used to really struggle with it, because I used to look at these other channelers, and I've met quite a few from around the world, and other spiritual leaders at that time. It's changed recently, which is great.
Yeah.
And it was always like, well, you're here and we're here. How do we get there? How do we leave behind this human stuff and get there? Yeah. I want to ascend out of this rubbish. And so I used to really chastise myself and judge myself, because I'd think, how is it that I can channel such profound wisdom, have so much awareness and have so much abilities, and still go through the daily crap that everybody else is going through? What's wrong with me? There's something I'm not getting. Mm-hmm. And of course, what I've realized is that this is what the human experience is. And it's not about surpassing humanity. It's about bringing the divine back into humanity. Mm. And so my perhaps at the time mistakes, my vulnerability, my willingness to completely expose when I'm not doing well or when I'm struggling with something, now I realize has become the normal of an awakening humanity. What I believed was less than is now the normal. And it is. When we bring the divine out of our humanness, we're still human. Mm-hmm. So the more people that are willing to actually be real and be human, I think it's easier for us. And for anyone who's struggling with this stuff, it doesn't mean you're going backwards or regressing because you're having a rough day. Hey, this is the human experience. Mm-hmm. And we're all going through it. We're not exempt.
That's such a great point, because in the spiritual community, there's just so much pedestaling and just hierarchy stuff. And yeah, I do see that going away and people actually starting to really look for authenticity, look for transparency, look for those who are embracing their humanity. Because like when I started my process, I was doing life coaching and I was very vulnerable and authentic on social media. And at first it was like a lot of sympathy, people like, you okay? Is everything all right? Like, and I didn't like that. I didn't like that my authenticity was being received in that way. So it made me want to like go back in and not do that and put the mask back on. And, but now even just a few years later, it's so different. It's like the more authentic you are and the more real and the more human you appear to be, people are resonating with you so much more.
I am so grateful that that has unfolded.
Yes.
I am so comforted by it. Mm-hmm. And you know what's so interesting, Sean, is that when you know that you're different or you feel like you're different in your childhood, your adolescence, early 20s, all you want is to belong. And there's such an acute awareness within you that you see things differently, you experience things differently to other people. To come into this experience now where my point of feeling like I belong here is the humanness and the challenges and the vulnerability, I can't tell you how wonderful that is.
It's so liberating to be coming from that place.
It's the realness.
It's so liberating to just release yourself from all of the expectations and all of the stories and all the identities and labels. And it's funny because our world is doing this thing right now where it's trying to, parts of the world anyways, are like trying to keep humans into these little sub identities, these little sub labels. Like, people now have, they're affiliated with like 10 different groups, and we're talking about the gender, the sex, the religion, like that's all comes as part of your label. And it's, life is like telling us to ditch all of that and come back to our humanity. And yeah, you have your beliefs, but your infinite consciousness having an experience through the body. And if we're all coming from that place, that is like where the world seems to be, like it's going to really drastically shift. And we all invite each other, the more authentic we are and the more honest and open we are about this whole thing.
Exactly. I mean, even a concept like channeling. I remember when I first started, I had people actually from all different philosophies and religions in life come and, you know, seek something, clarification. Mm-hmm. I remember a group of Hare Krishnas coming to my house. And sitting there on the floor and doing what they do. And I thought it was strange that they were sitting on the floor because I had enough seating. But, you know, it was it was to elevate my position. So please sit on a chair. And I remember them saying to me, why do you think that they chose you? Why do you, you know, why did God choose you? And, of course, the answer is, to show us that this is the nature of humanity. God didn't choose me. This capacity for wisdom that we call channeling is available for every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important because it's not what you're bringing in, it's what you're bringing out. And so for channeling for me has become being the living demonstration of every human's innate ability to access wisdom from within.
And for you, to get in that place, is it a certain, you do like breath work or any form of meditation, or it's kind of more like, you know, you just call on it and you just enter and embody that and then boom, you're there.
Well, it used to be, you know, I used to have to get into a certain space. I used to have to raise my vibration. There was a period I went through where I had to have a glass of alcohol to relax enough and get my brain out of the way. You know, that was when I was,
yeah,
I do that anymore. Because it was all about getting ready to receive.
Yeah.
Adjusting myself in some way. Now, the mechanism for what we call channeling, which I call accessing cosmic mind and everything that there is, is actually, it's a leaning back. So you know how when you meditate and you often think, I want to raise my vibration or transcend, it's often a moving out in front of you or above you. This is the opposite. This is actually leaning back in. And actually leaning back into myself. And it's very simple. It's almost like if you're on a you're in a swimming pool and you do a backward somersault, you know, you used to do when you were a kid. That's all I do. And there it is.
Wow.
And it can happen at any moment. And I've taught many people to do this. It's the most natural movement in the world. If you think about it, it's how we sit in our mother's womb.
Yeah.
Just we lean back. And it's the way that the axis on the earth is meant to be. You know, we're on this artificial axis in the world and also with our hearts, and that's shifting back actually, which is, I believe, why the poles are moving at the moment, because we're leaning forward into the future, into anticipation, into goals, into anywhere other than where we are. And so there's this natural movement to move back into where we are, and it all just opens up. That's how it is for me.
Into just beingness.
Yeah, just relaxing back into yourself, and it's all there.
Oh, the mind and the ego doesn't like that.
No, because it always goes forward, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, when you said, this is like so synchronistic, this conversation. When you said the alcohol piece, So I'll just share this really quick. The experience I was telling you about this weekend and the few other times that I've really gone into this and this has come through, I've used mushrooms as a tool to allow that to come through. And I've had this thing where I feel like I don't know how to get there without that. Because when I take that, it just pours, there's no mind. It's completely out of the way. And it just comes through so strongly and it's amazing, but I haven't experienced that really outside of that. So I'm like, it gets frustrating. I'm like, I want to get back there, but I don't want to have to like take this outside thing every time to do it. So it's really awesome to hear what you're saying right now.
Yeah. Just lean back. I've actually run whole retreats on giving people an experience of what happens when they lean back.
Wow. You know, Do you have your eyes open or are they closed?
Doesn't matter. Do you know, I never knew I could channel with my eyes open until I met a guy called Jeffrey Hoppe. I don't know if you've heard of him, Crimson Circle guy. Lovely, lovely man.
I haven't, and, no.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's a really good, really, really good channeler. And I saw him and he was doing some channeling with his eyes open. I thought, wow, I wonder if I can do that. And I could. I just had never thought of it before.
That's so cool. Was it a much different experience or pretty just much the same thing?
No, it's the same. You still have all of the vision and everything that happens when with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. We don't really know what we're capable of because we don't think to do it.
Yeah. So yours is like you see vision or visuals and you interpret, yeah. you interpret like symbols or something or?
No. It's just a voice conversation you and I now, but it's a different tone and a different stream of consciousness. But my personal experience within that is I get a multidimensional view of things, which is amazing. Actually, I wish I had the ability to be an animator so I could actually create some of the things that I see.
Yeah. Well, one other thing that I wanted to throw out here, you know, you talk about sovereignty and that being a really important theme for humanity. Why is it we're so oriented? Like it's so deep in our DNA, it feels like, that this desire for freedom. You know, it feels like here in the earth plane, there's a lot of things that can sort of trap you or make you feel like you're trapped in certain ways. Well, where does that come from? Like, why do we desire sovereignty so much? But yet we don't really give it to ourselves. It's an interesting paradox, it feels like.
Well, I think it's the very nature of who we are. It's the nature of life. I mean, if we look at, you know, the shape of matter and the shape of the galaxy, there's a zero point field in the middle of everything that is undefined.
Yeah.
And I actually feel that the ultimate sovereignty is the right to be undefined. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the right to not know what you're doing, the right to not have a name, you know, all of these things. It's so interesting because we feel that who we are and our sense of freedom is tied to our identity, but it's actually when we drop through identity that we discover that kind of freedom. So look, I think sovereignty is the core of who we are as beings, because I mean, what is sovereignty? Sovereignty is the ability to have real choice, I feel. And we think that we have choice within this world, but we actually don't. And this is probably a contentious topic about free will, because we think we have free will.
I go back and forth with this one. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it?
It is.
And it's my view of it's changed over time. I feel that within our current, you know, or the reality that we have experienced thus far, third dimensional reality and tied to fourth dimensional reality, in our earth plane, we don't actually have free will or choice, because what we have is we have a choice between A and B. I mean, this is what duality is, right? This is what 3D is. You can go forward or back with the hoop. You can't go sideways because you're going to fall over. You have to go forward or back.
Right.
You can go into the future or the past. You can choose between A and B. Everything is an opportunity cost.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything is an opportunity cost, every choice you make is a sacrifice. This is the whole point of linear time, is every choice you make is a sacrifice for another direction you could take. You can't ever go back to that point and choose again.
Right.
And this is what's so interesting, is we think we have choice, but the choice is so limited. It's not really a choice, is it?
Right.
I mean, do you want the apple or the orange? Or what happens if you want a banana? Or what happens if you want something that you don't even know exists yet? Mm-hmm. Which is where many kids are at this time on the planet. They don't really want to choose anything that's on offer.
Right.
I mean, the ultimate choice is to not have to choose.
It's funny, because in our world right now, we might be at a point in our human history that we have more choices than ever. And that's like almost paralyzing. It's like this buffet, and there's so much on it that you're like, I don't even freaking know where to start. I feel like if I choose something, I'm going to miss out on all the other things.
Yeah, but who created those choices?
We did. Or spirit did. I don't know. Life did.
But their choices already exist. What if you want something that hasn't been created yet? You know, none of that's satisfying. What else is there? Well, that's what we do. We don't say, well, what else is there?
Yeah.
We our minds just go to, this is the problem we're dealing with. We must choose from these options.
Yeah. Well,
what else is there?
Right.
You know, and so all of our systems in this world, our economy and our education system, political systems, they're all based on opportunity cost and sacrifice.
Economics 101.
I mean, you guys with your, I don't really want to go down the political road, but, you know, our elections, your elections, choose.
Very linear, very narrow band of possibility.
What else you got?
I think that's what everyone's asking, but we've been stuck on these two party things. But so do you, I'm just curious about this. So we have choice, you know, what else is there? Is it like, is the free will aspect of it? Because from my understanding, it's like we live in a free will planet where it's free choice. You can choose to, you know, decide from the ego and the material world and all that stuff, or you can choose to align with your higher frequency, your divine nature, your true aspect. And is that sort of like when you step into that river of choice, is that sort of like preordained? Is that something that, like, because in a quantum realm, it's like we've already done it.
Yeah.
And so we're just like, we're like existing in like a memory of that. It gets weird.
It does. And that's why I feel that what we think is free will and choice is not really, because it's so limited. It's such a limited piece of the pie. It's like, well, you can choose which bit you want from this part of the pie. I mean, really, when you get into what you're talking about, which is, you know, the expansion of consciousness and aligning with who you really are and beginning to become our creator selves again, for me personally, that's the choiceless choice. Because I don't know if it's like this for you, Sean, but a lot of people think, well, you have to choose to be more conscious. I didn't choose to become more conscious. Consciousness chose to arise. That's the choiceless choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you can ever mentally choose, emotionally choose, or ego choose.
Right.
It's not. It's a choiceless choice. It's life unfolding as it wishes.
Right.
Consciousness always gets what it wants.
Uh-huh.
Masters love to say that. And so if it's going to arise as you, through you, and of you in a particular way, that's the choiceless choice. It's inevitable and it's going to happen. We often think, and this is, look, this might be a little contentious for some people listening, but I always have a little giggle when I hear people say, oh, I can show you how to raise your consciousness, or let's, you know, accelerate our consciousness rising. And I think, well, that's the choiceless choice. That's happening of its own accord. We like to think we have control over that.
Mm-hmm.
We can move into agreement with it or not.
Yep.
But it's going to unfold as it does.
Right.
I mean, this is source consciousness we're talking about. This is God energy we're talking about, if that's a word to use. You can either agree with it or not, but can you influence it? I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's interesting because you hear like so many teachers, you know, like Abraham Hicks and folks like that, they talk about reality being very fluid and influenceable, just through you, you know, your words and your actions that you take, that, you know, like throwing a little pebble into a pond, the ripples that go out. So it's almost like in that way, are we choosing, and that way, are we co-creating with this reality that we're in with, the consciousness that's pouring through? I mean, it's everything, right? So it's like, can we, like what I was saying to you before the show, is it more of like we step into that river and then just like let it carry us? And then it's like we're being supported and going along our life journey from that place instead of the ego and feeling separate from that type of thing and resisting that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, I guess being in the ocean, if you're on the surface of the ocean and you're struggling and you're trying to stay afloat and there's waves coming and there's weather and all sorts of drama, you know, that's where all the action is. It's like where you think that you have choice over life or death or survival or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's where all the interesting stuff happens. Mm-hmm. If you actually, the deeper you sink into the consciousness that you are, it just becomes very interesting patterns on the surface of life that you can just go, oh, that's fascinating. That's interesting. What pattern is being created there, or what pattern do I want to create? But it's no longer a life or death. What do I need to create effort with to change? Yeah. And this is where it becomes effortless.
Yes.
And that's that flow in the river that you're talking about. You know, if you're in a body of water and someone throws a stone or some thing throws a stone, you know, is that a massive problem or is it a beautiful ripple pattern that's happening on the surface of consciousness? Which is how I'm viewing, you know, this COVID situation. It's like a pebble's being thrown and there's an incredible ripple effect that's happening. Mm-hmm. If you're up there on the surface of the water, it's going to be very disruptive, but if you're deep in your consciousness, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you have the choice to see it in whatever way that you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, my dad listens to these, but I'm going to say he's always been, I mean, the values are great. He's always been about the hard work, the effort. And I love that. I love that. Like that's a thing for people and it resonates with them. And like, that's what they were taught. But it just doesn't vibe with me. It feels forceful. It feels like, it doesn't feel like what is my true nature. I feel like we're in a, I actually, there's a poster in my room that says effort and it's like this hockey player and it was, my dad had put it up and I took it down because I didn't even like to look at it anymore because it reminded me of like that growing up as a kid, hard work, like landscaping, and my soul was just like, no, that's not it. So it's, I think there's that, that's a really big part of the paradigm shift is just like, go, 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 put more effort, put more work in, put all, right. a lot more action in.
And that's how it has been in our third dimensional reality, because 3D is all based on the premise of donating energy.
Yeah.
So we build up energy within ourselves through enthusiasm or passion or pure sheer determination. And then we transfer it to something else in order to get it to move or to grow. And that's how we've learned to create, through transference of energy. But the unsustainability of that is you have to keep building up energy within yourself to transfer it, keep building up to transfer. And also, if you don't keep transferring energy to something, it stops.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this incredible sense of responsibility to keep everything going by continuing to donate energy.
Yeah.
So that's like being a point or a conduit for energy on a circuit board. This is the electrical system of transference of energy, which is what all of our structures in 3D are based upon. You're a point in the circuit board, and unless you keep donating energy to this, everything's going to break down, you bad person.
Mm-hmm.
Or unless you keep donating energy to this, that energy's not going to come back around and keep filling you up.
Right.
Which is your paycheck or your sense of worth or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's massively problematic And it doesn't allow us to actually become sovereign, because the focus now becomes keeping the system of that transference alive. Your self sense of self-importance is gone. It all becomes about the greater system that you're donating energy to. And we see that in our society and culture, right?
What are you contributing? Then we're more like the batteries from the Matrix movie.
Exactly. I wasn't going to go there, but thank you.
We're like being farmed for that.
Well, we do exist within a holographic reality that depends upon human attention and focus to keep it running.
Yep, that's the construct.
This is
true. Yes.
This is collective. Absolutely true.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like we're starting to take the attention off of that now. Many people. And start to go back to communities and sustainable agriculture and working in harmony with the earth and enjoying ourselves, playing music, dancing, connecting with each other. And yeah, less off this factory industrial mentality that we've been really...
Repetition, reproduction, creation. So if we're moving away from this electrical grid, if we move our attention off it and back into sovereignty, not only do we see the structures start to falter, which is what's happening now, because enough people are starting to disengage from that, and have the courage and the boldness to do that. But what we find now is we're moving back into our natural magnetic systems. So we're actually magnetic beings. We run on magnetic energy, as the earth is. Mm-hmm. And if we look at magnetic fields, not only are they completely self-sustainable, but we begin to create through resonance. So if you're sitting here like this in resonance and you're completely aware of yourself, aware of your own consciousness, you know that there's nothing missing in your life. Suddenly, other things start to show up in your reality in complete agreement with you. And you didn't have to donate any energy for that creation to happen. You didn't have to actually go out and make effort for that to appear. There's just resonance and agreement everywhere. So we start creating through resonance because of this magnetic return, rather than creating through donating and sacrificing energy.
I'm just over here. Like, I want to snap my fingers because it's such a beautiful point and just like really tapping into how good that is to live life from a point of magnetism where life comes to you and you don't have to force your way into it. And that makes it so magic and exciting and new things and synchronicities. And you don't know how it's going to get there, but it gets there. And that is so beautiful. And that's what that logical, rational part of me is still fighting that in certain ways, but I'm starting to accept that more and more, that that's what life is all about. And that's how I want to live. I don't want to do anything but that.
I love the passion that's coming up within you as you say that. You get excited about this like I do.
Yeah.
You know, because the truth of it resonates deeply within you. It makes you feel alive. When you feel into that, you feel alive. Mm-hmm. And when you feel into donating energy towards a system that's not really serving you, but you're serving it, you don't feel alive.
Yeah.
And that's why it comes back to, this is a question of life and death. In what moments in your life do you feel alive?
Yeah.
You know, because quite often people talk about joy. Where's your joy? But for a lot of people, that's an elusive concept. A lot of people don't actually really know what joy feels like or looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But feeling alive, we all know what that is. We've all had those little experiences of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a massive clue. When you're feeling alive, that's what to look for. They're the marker points.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I feel that's very similar to like excitement. Aliveness and excitement are almost like these parallel streets.
Yeah.
Not so much... And I guess you could maybe throw joy in there, but I like that. I think alive is a better term for that.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of people, like, you know, for criminals, some people do stuff that makes them feel alive just because it gives them that feeling. And it might harm others. It might, but it gives them that sense of like, okay, I'm alive and I'm here. And that feels exhilarating.
Yeah, I feel invincible. I feel immortal. I feel complete.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can't do.
Mm.
That's the true nature of ourselves.
I get so juiced up about this stuff because that, like, everything that you're saying, I can feel it so deeply in my body. And I think there's this part of me that's like, I've put that off for so long and I've kept myself in such a tiny box compared to who I am. And I've kept myself from so many cool things out there, and just, it's been so heavy and so dense. And but I'm so grateful that I went through all that to start to get into this place where that's all opening up and unfolding. And it just, it, I know it's just going to keep expanding from there. It's not going to retract. It's just going to keep going the more that I can go with it. So yeah, everything you're saying, I was like, whew, that's exactly where I want to be.
And you know, part of that life and death thing too, is that there's a knowing within you that once you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
You can't go back. Nope. You can try. You can dabble again.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to know really, really quickly that there's no energy in that for you. There's no vitality in donating your energy anymore.
Right. Oh, so beautiful. I love it. I love all of this. I know we've gone a little bit over, but I lose track. We've been in a timeless quantum space here, and I figured that was going to happen with you.
Thank you. I love that we've just demonstrated resonance and agreement.
Yeah. So that, and I mean that, this doing this makes me feel alive. That's why I love the podcast and having conversations with people like yourself. And yeah, so at the end of the show, I love to just give people a little bit of a space, and I'd love to do this for you. Is there any like message in your heart, anything that you would like to leave the listeners with, any parting words that you might want to say to people who tune into this at some point?
If you're feeling the compression and you're feeling the frustration and the restlessness at this time, you are exactly where you need to be. So try not to see it as a problem to be solved, or that in somehow you've lost that vision that you had, but know that you're bringing all of that with you to help humanity move into a completely new era of understanding. So you're okay. We're all in it.
Amazing. It feels good that we're all in it, because we're all in this thing together.
We're all experiencing it. It's collective. And it's quite likely that whatever you're feeling right now is more likely to be the collective experience, even though you interpret it as your personal experience.
Totally. Beautiful. Thank you for that. So is, in terms of what's next for you, are you writing any more books? Are you doing more seminars, or are you doing private sessions? What's like your main thing right now?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm multi-directional, so I don't have a main thing.
Forgot about that.
So yeah, I'm doing a seminar in a couple of weeks on the new heart. We have a new heart system in the body, so I'm going to be speaking about that. I am writing another book at the moment about that magnetic way of creating.
Nice.
And yeah, I do personal sessions as well. I'm always doing, it's different every day. Whatever arises in the moment.
Beautiful. Is there a way for anyone to get access to is it going to be online at all, the talk with about the heart? Or?
Yes. Everything I do is online now, because I can't travel, obviously. And it's been great, actually, because it enables me to be able to engage with more people at once. Mm. So my website is just my name, RebeccaDawson.net. I also have a YouTube channel. So I have a lot of channelings that are freely available for people on there. Lots to explore, lots to engage with. And we're always bringing the latest, newest information to help us exactly where we are, which I always, you know, feel very privileged to be able to share.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super valuable information. Thank you for everything that you are and what you do. It's really,
thank you too.
This conversation helped me in a lot of ways, a lot of things that were said. So, yeah, a lot of validation, a lot of like, okay, yes,
That's so the thing, isn't it? We don't believe ourselves.
No.
We're so wired to believe somebody else, but we don't believe ourselves. And then we'll have a conversation like this and they're like, ha, I was right all along.
Yep. It's why we go to the psychics and the mediums, and because we just need to hear it from somebody else.
Yeah. Instead of going, you know, I can believe myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here as always. And yeah, I want to leave you with, as we tend to do. Peace within is peace without. Let's all shift this thing into the 5D space and support each other in that, because that's the world I want my children to grow up in. Sounds pretty amazing. It's a bunch of little magnets running around and life's moving towards them, and it sounds a lot more fun. All right, everybody. So much love, and we'll see you on the next one.